Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support MLA's effort to save our republic. Also consider taking our 90-hour court access in the common law course. You can find the link on the front page and in the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of the website. We also have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here in the Start Meeting Room. Okay, for scripture reading tonight, we're going to pick back up. Last week we read chapter 5 of Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is chapter 5, 6, and 7. So tonight we're going to be reading chapter 6. Okay, chapter 6, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith! Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements?
No, John, I have no questions. Not a one.
Wow. Usually we at least get at least one. Okay, well, anyway, the queue is open for anybody who wants to get into the queue. It's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. And there should be a button there if you're on an app or browser. Couple of things. Well, first of all, well, let's take a look at this first. Let's see. I want to talk about how to get membership for those who are building committees of safety. Look at our founding fathers built this nation with committees of safety. They continued this nation with committees of safety, the committeemen, until we were robbed of that, as we've been robbed of many things here in this republic. They've robbed our republic. They've changed us into a democracy. They've stolen our courts, turned us into civil law courts. They've robbed us of our education. They teach us woke and all kinds of silly, sick stuff. We do have a plan here to build these committees of safety, and it's the committees of safety that's going to save this nation. Trump and his administration doing a fine job, and I think things are going to be really, really great this year. By the end of this year, I think it's going to be quite a change in our republic. And I think next year is even going to be better. But it's up to the people to keep it. It's up to the people to protect the Constitution. The Constitution cannot protect itself. And clearly, elected individuals will never protect our Constitution. Maybe we do have some people here in power from time to time, but it's very rare, and it's extremely rare to have an administration that we have today. But in any event, education is the key. You know, our liberty, is dependent upon protecting our Constitution. There's a movement in this country, if anybody's paying attention, of trying to get rid of our Constitution. And they want to change things. Different groups want to change it to many different things. But they're winning our children's minds because they don't have a proper education. Therefore, I believe that the first order of business for any committee of safety is to do two things. Focus in on saving our children, the minds of our children, saving our schools, bringing them back to where they belong, getting the Bible back into the school, getting prayer back into the school, Pledge allegiance back into the school, morality into the school, to bring in the doctrines of Christ, which had been for, goodness, all the way up to 1973. Let me think about that. Was it 73? No, it was earlier than that, 63. 1963 is when the Bible and prayer were removed from school, and ever since then we've seen moral decay, and it'll continue to get worse. Because if we don't lift up the king of the court, and if we don't teach our children who the king of the court is, then we lose everything. We lose moralities, we lose everything in who we are as a people. But anyway, a plan to save our schools, children, ultimately the minds of the children, and by doing so, we can build our committees of safety strongly. We can get lots of membership coming in, people who are really want to do something, because I think it's the parents of children that recognize the problems in schools and are frustrated with what's going on. I think they will become, or have been, and still are, you know, if you go to these any of these school meetings, they really fill the rooms up, standing room only, and even going outside the door, and people are angry. They want our children to be taught, you know, the American way. They want people, our children, to be taught morally, and they want their children to be taught not necessarily what to think, but how to think. Bring them history, bring them facts, and teach them how to think. And that's where we have to go. We have to get rid of this wokeism. Our children don't even know whether they're male or female. And this is being created in the minds of our children by these people who are corrupting the morals of our minors, our children. I remember when I was a kid, I've heard it come up from time to time, that it was a crime to corrupt the morals of a minor. I mean, my goodness, the things that they teach in school, people would be in jail for. But we've lost our way. We've lost our common sense. You know, natural law is simply common sense with an eye on justice. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. You know, to learn the court system, the court process is one thing, and it's pretty simple once you see how that works. And you can see the logic of it. It makes a lot of sense. Nothing has changed there for quite some time, far longer than America has been around. But nevertheless, we have to have our natural law. We have to have our common law. We have to bring it back. And we have to bring it back into the minds of our children. That's where it starts. But anyway, I just wrote something up. I'm going to read through this a little bit. It's nothing long or deep, but I'm going to put together a plan in more depth, hopefully by next week. And then maybe we'll look at that. It'll be downloadable for people who are building committees of safety and to be able to grow their committees of safety with leaps and bounds, and at the same time working towards saving our children. So the following plan is going to require at least one person to have a basic understanding of due process and the courts. And we're just talking basic. There are people who have a basic understanding of how due process works, and they can file a paper and do a few little things. They may not be very great at it, but that's good enough knowledge to be able to do what we're doing, because you're going to have one person in your committee of safety that has that knowledge and the ability to step up and file the paper and defend it, articulate the position if necessary. And I don't think it's going to take much of a debate or anything within a court system. I think it'll be rather quick. I think it's a slam dunk. Although we are up against courts that uphold status quo, courts that are not just. So it'll be a hit and miss to some degree, but you can take it up the line, and I've learned some things new just recently, and I'm going to be sharing that. I don't know if I'm going to get to that tonight too much, but maybe a little bit, and in the near future, I'm going to get much deeper into the new things that I've just learned that is pretty powerful, and we'll talk about right after we look at this. Okay, so I strongly suggest at least one person take our course in a committee of safety, court access in the common law. And remember, our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. If you don't know the law, you can't know your heritage, and you cannot defend liberty. It just can't be done. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. Well, maybe he didn't say it that way, but if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Forget about it. If you don't know the law, how can you possibly protect the Constitution? You know, and that is the ultimate of our Lord, is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the foundation of our Lord, the Declaration of Independence, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You know, when we were children, I took an oath every single day of my life, well, 5 days a week, and not so much in the summer, because we said the Pledge of Allegiance, the beginning of the day, started off with a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America. Every child knew it, every child said it, and that was a pledge. And we have to honor that pledge. It's an oath. We took an oath every day. I'm hearing they don't do that anymore. So, and that's pretty sad, and that's our fault, because we've let it go. We've lost our common sense. We've lost our common law, our natural law. So, let me repeat, if you don't know the law, you cannot possibly protect the Constitution. Most people that are elected in office, they don't know the Constitution. They have no respect for the Bill of Rights. For the Constitution cannot protect itself. Therefore, I really suggest that everyone take our course. I know that's not going to happen, but I really suggest that people should do that. Court access and the common law course. And we've made this extremely affordable. You know, a 60-hour college course on court procedure would cost you about $13,000, whereas National Liberty Alliance offers a superior 90-hour course, because we teach the common law. We talk about statutes and the problems with the rules of the court and how to deal with that and different things. But nevertheless, we only charge $125 for that course. And, of course, that money goes to support the work we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. We need money to keep the lights on, to keep things going. If you go into, in order to really build this up, is to go to the school districts. And you could search for the list of school districts in your county. I did one searched on Dutchess County where I live, and there are 16 school districts. You just go and Google it, school districts in whatever county you live in that state, and pop, it'll come up. In my case, it came up DutchessCounty.gov, schools, school districts, and I got a list of all of them, phone number, location, the address, and the name of the school district. There are 16 of them, and each one of those school districts gives us a potential to go talk to in those school districts, particularly have a pre-meeting with the people within those school districts, to discuss the problems that are in the schools and what they're looking to accomplish, and to suggest certain things that need to be replaced back into the schools. And then we go to the school, to the meetings, the board meeting. And we demand, okay? Anyway, let me take this in somewhat of an order so it doesn't get too confusing. But anyway, I listed out all of the school districts in my county. Now, my county... God, I should have said 16. Did I say 6? Let me put teen in there. Okay, so 16 school boards. If you go to your county building and where your county clerk is, should be right next to the courthouse, you find the real property office. I know in my county it's on the second floor. You can look up. There's a board there when you walk in and by the elevator, and it'll read off the different offices in that building, and you look for real property. And you bring a thumb drive with you, and you ask for the mailing lists for all the school districts. You want the mailing list of all the people that live within the specific, and you bring that list of the school districts, the specific school districts. You want a list of the people that live in those things, in those districts. And they will run it off. If you do it on a thumb drive or even a CD, it'll be in label form and you can run it off on Microsoft Word. Okay, and for people who don't know how to do that, you'll find someone in your group that knows how to do that. But if not, if you want, you can have the labels run off. They'll run you the sticker labels, and you're going to have to, you just have to print those out. That gets a little more expensive, because when you bring the thumb drive, they can't charge you too much. If they charge you $20, $30, $40, $50 at the most for all the school districts, I think that would be a lot. But in any event, with labels, I know when I used to do advertisements that way, and I think I was paying a penny a label. And we were buying them by the labels. But anyway. So then you go to a post office and you buy a bulk mailing permit. So you get a big discount on the mailing. You're mailing in bulk. And let's say, I don't know how many people, individuals would be in a particular school district, but whatever it might be, 1,000, 2,000, whatever, I don't know. Then you'll be able to mail out to all of those individuals. And those individuals are the parents of people that have children going to school. It's the grandparents. And it's other people that are just interested in bringing things back to our education, back to a proper education. You go to Amazon or maybe in other places, you might find things cheaper, I don't know. You have to search around. But you can buy these blank index cards, mailing stock. You know, they're a little thicker, so it's a mailing stock. White, 4 inches by 6 inches. And what I will do is I will design and write an invitation on one side and, you know, telling the people what we're doing, and you kind of fill in the blanks on the locations and different things. But what you do is you have a meeting with these people before the school board meetings, and we have to really, on this card, really explain to them what the plan is. It'll be short and sweet, and it will fit onto a 4x6 index card. On the other side, you have imprinted the permit, the mailing permit. Okay, so you don't have to put no stamps or anything on it. You use the mailing permit, they run it through, and then you pay whatever the cost may be. And then the only other thing you have to do is put the label on it. So you run your label off of your thumb drive. You can run it through Microsoft Word and print out labels, and you put your labels on, you mail them out. But the thing is you want to let the people within that school district know that we're looking at the problems of the schools, and we people need to take the schools back and give our children a proper education. You know, and I'll put some things together and write it up as best I can. People can change it if they want, of course, but I'll at least get the point out onto an index card what I think might be a really good message to the people to get them interested to come. So let's say, and I'll just pick just any date. Let's say that October 1st, let's say, is going to be a school board meeting. Okay, well, you're going to want to have a meeting maybe a week or two prior to that, and that'll be explained on the card and the purpose of that meeting. When you run the meeting, the people come in, you need to run it as a committee, and again, we have videos on how to operate as a video. We have as a committee, we have videos, we have handbooks, teach people how to run it, and we'll probably put something together specifically, because maybe you only have two or three members. And maybe you're going to get 20, 30, 50, 100 people. Who knows how many people is going to come? I think a lot, in my opinion, because people are really upset about the schools. And you run it as a regular committee. You know, I'll lay something out, particularly for a committee that hasn't really grown much yet, and you're looking to grow. And those who have grown somewhat, and then you should already be in the process of running your committee as a committee. You know, you just don't come together and talk. You don't just come together and watch a video or whatever, or just have a speaker. No, you have to run it properly as a committee. There's first order business, what people have done throughout the week, throughout the month, what they brought, ideas, and then you have new business and so on and so forth. You have to run a process. You have to look and operate as if you're well organized, because if you're not organized and you don't have a plan and you don't go forward in a proper way, you just don't go anywhere. And people get frustrated and people don't come. They don't think we're getting anywhere. We're just wasting time. No, you have to have committee meetings that you know at every meeting you're going to move that one step further, one step closer to returning our nation back to a republic again. But it starts on the grassroots. It starts with your local governments. It starts with your local schools. And what we're talking about, the school boards here, this could be done on every government level. This is just the school districts. You can go into the government board meetings, whatever, or when you go meet the mayor or something, or whatever the case may be. This could be done, and every time you go in there, you do the same thing. But you're going to grow your committee in leaps and bounds. Because once the people, if you do this properly, and once the people sees the power and the authority of the people, they're going to want to learn, and they're going to want to see, and they're going to want to do. And that's the people you want. And I'm telling you, it's the parents of children in school that are going to be the most active, that's going to respond to this. Okay, so 4x6, I'll design an invitation on one side, and you put the permit on the other side, the card with your return address, and put a phone number in there also. And you have your first meeting 1 week before, and you lay out the plan. And I'll lay out a plan, and people can alter that plan however they want to do it. They can add things, take things away, but then I'll put some plan together on the order of business dealing with the schools, the problems in the schools today, what needs to be done. And each community will have to figure things out on their own, how far they want to push things. Let me just read the next line. I know I said this already, but the card will invite them to a preliminary meeting to discuss the plan for the upcoming school board meeting. I will create the layout for the invitation. I will create PowerPoints to explain the plan to the people that respond. That'll be in a PowerPoint, or it'll be in and a video. Do both, PowerPoint and a video. So, you know, you can use the video to explain to the people the plan, or you can use the PowerPoint, and that gives you the ability to make some alterations in the PowerPoint, and in order to, you know, propose the plan that you're going to be executing at the school board. So I will create the PowerPoint to explain the plan to the people that respond. I will prepare a quo vanto. People need to understand the power and the authority of a quo vanto. And a quo vanto is obey, act, or cease to be a member of the board, resign in 3 days. So they have to respond to the will of the people or resign. And with a quo vanto, the plan, well, let me read through this, I might add as I go along. You will need to have the sheriff's deputy to arrive at the meeting about 15 minutes before the end of the school board meeting in order to serve the quo vanto. You can ask if they want to come in early and listen to what's going on. That could be a good thing. If you ever have a relationship with your sheriff will definitely want to go to this meeting. Okay, maybe you send a deputy. But you do want to have a deputy there or a sheriff, because with this quo vanto, you're going to have the sheriff serve it on all the board members, okay? And I'll write the quo vanto. You just have to put the basic details of the, you know, the information you need, which would be very easily clear, you know, really just like, you know, who you're sending the quo vanto to, and, you know, the addresses and different information you have to add in. It'll be blanks, and it'll be very simple to put together. So I'll put the quo vanto together, and you serve these people. And, of course, before that happens, you know, you want to make a plan on what you are requiring this board to do. We don't want our children demoralized anymore. We want our children to be morally minded, and that's what you need to teach. We don't want books, Johnny has two mommies or two daddies or whatever the case may be. We don't want you to confuse our children that they don't even know whether they're a male or a female. We don't want you to teach them all about this crazy woke stuff. We want to teach them about the king of the court and who we are as a people and how this country came to be. We want our children to have a real education. We want our children to learn civics. We want our children to learn the Constitution. We want our children to learn true American history. We want our children, and you could just add on to this. Okay, and that's what's going to be discussed at your first meeting, and you're going to prepare this meeting, and everybody will get a copy of the plan, a couple of days later you email out what you discussed, what you planned, and what's going to be covered at that board meeting. And so, you know, they love to cut people short, and if you get everybody lined up behind each other, and you all have the script that you all agreed upon, okay, where they cut one person off and they say, come on, next person, we want to hear from you no more. Well, the next person picks up where that one left off. And you get your message out to what you demand this board to do. I've seen meetings online. People come in angry, demanding, and wanting this and wanting that and want to get rid of this and get rid of that. And it falls upon deaf ears. And at the end of the meeting, They maintain the status quo, and they hit that hammer, and it's all over, and they don't care what the people say. Well, that's why we serve a quo vanto. And they got 3 days to respond to that quo vanto. Act, or you'll be dismissed. And then you seize the seats of these people. You can see the people in that coming to that board meeting can take control of those seats. Once you empty those seats out, whoever doesn't go along with the will of the people, this is your school district. This is your children. Your children, you have an investment. Who are these people to demoralize our children? So we lay this out, okay? And they either obey or they don't. And if they don't obey, they don't want to obey, they have the sheriff make the serving, that's official, and then you remove them from their seats, and if they refuse to be removed from the seats, and you fill them with anybody who wants to take a seat, you just take it and take the oath. And they should have been taking an oath anyway, but you take the oath and until the next time when they may have some elections for these things or however the board gets together. They may just put anybody they want in these things. You have to figure out what's going on in your county, how in your school district, and how they put these people in the seats. But you want them gone. And that's why you have to have a little bit of a knowledge of due process, how the court system works. You got to have one person that has, and now is the time to go learn that. If you're going to execute this, at least one person should start taking our course if you don't know anything about how due process works, how the court system works. And then we will... you know, you go through the course, and you got time right now because probably not going to be a board meeting. Let's see, October or November or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have a board meeting before the school starts. I'd imagine at least 30, 60, or 90 days into it, they'll have a meeting, school board meeting. But maybe I'm wrong on that. But the thing is that you got a whole bunch of school districts you need to go on to and approach. And I'll tell you, you serve the paper. They don't obey, you file it with the court with a default and a requirement and a demand, and the court will order them if they're going to follow the law. I have to be honest with you, a lot of these courts may not want to follow the law, but the times they are changing. So I think we'll have a lot of success, and you can always appeal if they refuse to apply the law of the land. And the quo vanto is the law of the land. It's a demand from the sovereign. They must obey. Obey the will, or take a hike. So that's the main part of that process. Now, once you're done with this, these people, you know, you're going to want to cover this at the first meeting, that, look, this isn't the only thing we're doing. We want to correct the political process. We want to put people in power that have a proper understanding of the Constitution. We don't want our elected officials in there if they don't know the Constitution. We want people who obey the Constitution. And there's a whole list of things that I will put together that you're going to want to cover. And if I'm missing anything, you can add. If you want to take anything out, you can take it out. It's up to the committee to do. Every committee is free and independent. They operate totally on their own. But they should look to the counties next door. They should come to us for advice. They should come to us for an education. And we should be feeding each other. You know, one county will have a problem, and another county will say, hey, we had that problem too, and this is what we've done. Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we should do that too. You see, it's called the Committee of Correspondence. You need to be communicating with other. That's what our founding fathers did. That's how they created this nation. And they communicated, okay, together. Philadelphia with New York, New York with New Jersey, Pennsylvania. They communicated with each other. Without that communication, this nation never would have been. Without that communication, there'd be no United States of America. And they exercised that process, that Committee of Safety, for quite some time until they stole it from us. And I know it was stolen here in New York at the turn of the coming into the 20th century, because I went up to, with Gerard, Gerard and I went up to Albany, and we went into where they keep all the all of this information, the papers and everything, and we looked up what the law was, and when they made the changes of law, and it happened in about, I think here in New York, it happened in, I think it was 1909, 1911, about the same time that, you know, they started to destroy, you know, our economic system and many other things. And 17th Amendment came in, destroying our political process, the powers and the authorities, the communications, you know, of between the powers. And they took away the right of the states to have anything to say in Washington, which is what, you know, of course, that was the 17th Amendment that took that away. They took their senators away. And the states have no say on what goes on. And they've given the people the Senate, and that was just another way to take more control. But anyway, we're not going to get into that at the moment. There's a lot to talk about there. But the bottom line is this is what we have to do. So I will prepare for the court, should they ignore the quo warranto, and provide instructions on the filing the for enforcement. I will create videos. I will create PowerPoints, so you can use the video or the PowerPoint. And I will create a handbook, which will be in a PDF. You'll be able to download it for free, and it'll be a step-by-step instruction for each part of this process. I will write the papers. I think I said that. I write the papers for the quo warranto. I'll also write the paper to take you into the court for a default on that quo warranto and an execution in the, according to the will of the people. And then, you know, we'll talk about the appellate process. I'll even write that, the appeals, and move it up the line. You know, it's the same thing for everyone. It'll be the same paper. Nothing will be different except for you change the names and the places in there. That's about it, you know. But this is how we're going to go about, you know, bringing membership. It'll be a strong membership because people will see the power and the authority. They're already involved in their community because they have children in school or grandparents, and they're going to see the wisdom of taking control and executing their, and we're going to talk about it this way, executing their unalienable right of government by consent. And the process by which you exercise your unalienable right to government by consent is through committees of safety, taking control of every aspect of power that affects you within that county. NLA needs to develop a committee of correspondents, and we do have a couple of people who are interested in assisting us or making some phone calls. Jan, maybe you can let me know if there's any more than that, but I believe we have two people. I'm going to make a plan and also a video, an instructional video on that too, but I'll make a plan on the process and the procedure, you know, the first phone call to the Committee of Safety and a follow-up phone call and what to talk about and let them understand certain things about who NLA really is. You know, I think a lot of these Committees of Safety, they're kind of frightened to some degree to come to National Liberty Alliance because they don't want some national group to take control over them. And we've always said here from the very beginning, and we've said it most recently, and I'll say it again, the day that National Liberty Alliance gives any Committee of Safety marching orders to do this, to do that, that's the day you leave National Liberty Alliance. And as long as I'm alive, we'll never come to that point. And I know the people, the leadership within our group here feels the same way. People have to be free and independent, and they have to do what they want to do. But we need to teach people things so that they can make good decisions. You know, people have lost their common sense because we've lost our common law. Our common law is common sense. And then you see all this craziness. They're out there debating our First Amendment right, our Second Amendment right. They're debating our Fifth Amendment. They just go on and on. Now they're debating the Constitution, whether we should have a Constitution. And the people are totally lost. They're dizzy to this whole thing, and they've lost their common sense. They don't recognize that the republic has been destroyed and is being destroyed on a daily basis. They don't recognize that that these people are in there for, you know, in power, in there for themselves. And let me tell you, one of the most damaging, and I've spoken about this before, and I'm going to speak some more on this soon, the most damaging thing, and there are a lot of damaging things, but one of the most damaging things on a list of a lot of that damaging things is political parties. You know, I've talked to people about political parties. Oh, you can't. How are we going to operate? What are we going to do? We have to have political. What do we have to have political parties for? You want the party bosses? You want the party bosses to control all the people in the Democrat Party? You want the party bosses in the Republican Party to control the people in the Republican Party? They do the will of the party bosses, or do you want them to do the will of the people? Because if there ain't no boss, there's no one to listen to but the people. And if the people understand their powers and authorities, how to exercise their right of government by consent, they will know how to remove those people who aren't obedient to them. You can remove anybody in power, all the way up to the governor. The president, I don't know that you can remove the president through the people. You can do indictments on the president. You can remove anybody that's elected, judges that are elected. You can recall them. 90 days, out of power, put a new guy in there. This is at any level. Your congressman, your senator, as long as the 17th Amendment stands, and that's another thing that's got to go. Because those people have to go back to the state to represent the states, the will of the states, and not the will of the people. That was a balance of power. And the people play a role in that. The people play a role in that because we're the sovereigns, we're the lawmakers, we the people ordained and established this Constitution for them to be obedient to, and we need to enforce it, and we'll enforce it with indictments when they break it. But people don't know any of those things. They don't even know a republic. There are Supreme Court justices that do not know that we are a republic, or they refuse to say it. They still call us a democracy. I mean, that's insane. And the people don't even realize it. They don't know. Why? Because we're ignorant. Why are we ignorant? Because we were never taught these things. Why were we never taught these things? Because they don't want to teach you those things. You got to keep the slave ignorant. Otherwise, they can't be a slave. You educate a slave, you got a problem. You can't control them no more. They get the knowledge and the we could take these people out. We can get rid of them. We can do this. We can do that. That's what a committee of safety is for. That's what National Liberty Alliance teaches. That's what you need to become educated with. And look, you will be told only a fool represents himself in a court. I say only a fool will be represented by a bar attorney. Only a fool would be represented by a bar attorney. But getting back to the parties, the two-party systems, I mean, our Founding Fathers spoke about this. George Washington used strong language about this. Don't do it. Don't have parties. They're going to destroy this nation. They're going to get rid of the will of the people and have the will of some party boss. And they're going to destroy everything. And they'll be subject to the will of foreign powers. And that's exactly where we're at. We didn't listen to our Founding Fathers. What's wrong with us? We need to become obedient to what they have said, learn what they have put together, and execute and exercise just like they did, the powers of the people. But anyway, the key thing here is to grow membership for committees of safety. This is the beginning of growing membership. And every time you do something like this in a school district, your membership's going to grow in leaps and bounds. And when you start doing this on the town boards, it's going to grow even more in leaps and bounds. You're going to start to draw in the committeemen that are in the statutory committeemen process, which is the process they stole from us and created. Lawyers created a statutory process. We will start drawing those people in because I can tell you they have a high attrition rate. I was a committeeman for 2 terms. And I was involved with this for a long time, and I saw people didn't stay long. They might stay for a couple of terms and stuff until they start to realize that they're suckers. And the people that are getting something out of this, maybe they're getting a contract maybe for towing off the local highway or something, or whatever the case may be. There's all kinds of things going on, sort of, you know, paying to people who are strong members of this process. Okay, those are the people that stick around. They become more and more corrupt, and they don't want you to get rid of that party system because it empowers them. It makes them money. And money is the big thing in the problems that goes on with these things. But anyway, we need to take this nation back. This is the way to do it. And I hope that we have Committee of Safety leadership here at tonight's meeting, or I hope at least they will listen to tonight's program on Rumble or on YouTube, or even download the audio up on our page and listen to this program and realize the wisdom of our Founding Fathers, because that's what we're doing. We're exercising the wisdom of our Founding Fathers to do what they did and to take control and maintain control and stop these people from talking about our First Amendment rights. And, you know, I recently, there's a video going around, And I just listened to it today. I put it up on my one of my tabs on my browser, and I just haven't had the time to listen to it. But earlier today, I did listen to it. And it's some guy out there, and he is talking about petitioning. I was involved in a little bit of email communications concerning petitioning, and I made the point that we're not petitioning particularly for anything specific. We are commanding. We're doing it's something different. We're not one of the people doing something. We are the people doing something. Through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, we're not asking them of anything. We're laying out the subversion and the guilt of these people and what they've done to our courts. We're focusing in only on the courts at this point in time in this paperwork. I mean, we can focus in on a whole bunch of other things, and we intend to do so, parties and other things, education. But right now, we're focusing in. We need our courts of justice back. They've closed the doors of justice. We have sent papers up to the United States Supreme Court as a presentment from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And we explained to them how that process, how we came to be. We're not just a couple of people here in New York. No, we are throughout the whole nation that came together to do this thing. And so, but anyway, we filed papers in the Supreme Court on two occasions before. They send them back. Can't get past the doorkeeper. We recently filed a paper. They sent it back. Can't get through past the doorkeeper. We have a new process, a new way of approaching this. We've been talking with an individual who has given us some good education and another way to focus. But this video I saw today, It rang a bell on me when I really understood what they were talking about petitioning. It's a First Amendment right. They cannot take that away from us. And Justice Roberts sent a letter to the clerk for refusing, for denying the people's right to bring a paper into the Supreme Court to be heard by a justice, okay, because it violates a rule, and the rules are the problem. That's the focus of our assault upon them. They through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. That's when they changed this from natural law to civil law. Civil law is Roman law. That's what they teach them in school. Bar schools teach that we're under Roman law, civil law. It's synonymous. And Roman law is synonymous with Justinian law. Justinian law is just repackaged Babylonian law. It's the law of the city to control the people, to maintain the control of the slave, to fleece them of their money. And that's what civil law is all about, to control us. And the people don't even recognize the difference. Why? Because they don't have a proper education. They were never taught. You know, our founding fathers, particularly Jefferson and Madison, and all the founding fathers, but Jefferson and Madison were the spearheads of this. And they're the ones that did the research, mostly by Jefferson. Madison picked up and researched and continued that. And all our founding fathers picked up on this also. It took research to discover who we should be as a people, and to discover who we are as a people, one nation under God, indivisible. We want unalienable rights. We don't want rights. We want unalienable rights given to us by God, not by men. Because if men giveth, men taketh. God gives it, nobody takes it. Unless you let them take it through your ignorance, because we don't know it. We allow it to be. So anyway, I'm going to draw up and create, I'm going to create a plan on paper, downloadable, in a sort of a book form, and step-by-step process to what I'm talking about tonight. I'm going to do videos on it, and I'm going to do PowerPoints. It'll be PowerPoint videos or PowerPoint. And you'll be able to, people who want to make the changes in that can take that PowerPoint and make changes accordingly. And that's fine. We're free and independent. Every county is free and independent. You need to act free and independently. But we have to come together where we can. We have to, and especially not so much with National Liberty Alliance. National Liberty Alliance is only interested in a couple of things. We're interested in providing a place to have a proper education. That's the major thing. We're also interested in people backing us up to fight this court system of injustice, to bring us back to a justice court. They've closed the doors of justice. We need to open them up, and we need to get this paper in. But anyway, I kind of dropped the point or the thought on this petition. It's a First Amendment right to petition the court. Justice Roberts ordered the court clerk to not apply a rule that would violate their First Amendment right. He was in agreement with that. And we're able to take that information and lay it out to the clerks, and we're going to be able to get access through the past the clerks and to the courts into the justices. Now another problem we do have is, and I know it's tough. You know, we living is tough economically speaking. Money's tight. It's going to get better, and it's going to get better quick now. I think that things are happening. A lot of this business is coming back to the United States in the next few months. A lot of them are going to start opening up. There's a lot of new businesses that are building plants, electrical plants, and that's going to put more electricity out there too, because there'll be an override even for what they need. There'll be an override to go out into the system. Electricity is going to dive down. We need to get rid of foreign control of our electrical, our electricity. I know here with Central Hudson, where I get my electric from, it's controlled by a foreign country. It's controlled by people in Canada. Okay. How can our utilities be controlled by a foreign country? What the heck is that all about? This is our crazy governor, I think, that has gone. And before this governor also, we've had a series of crazy governors. They're just really, they claim to be for the people, but they're not for the people at all. But in any event, all these things need to be corrected and brought back, and we're going to be able to see that. I think it's going to happen quite a bit. But look, if you can't afford giving up one cup of coffee and a donut or a bagel or something a month. One bagel, one cup of coffee a month. That's about $5. Give us $5 a month. Support what we're doing. And right now, we need about $1,000. And I've been trying to collect some money, and we're still down under $300. We're like $280. That's all we've collected. And we need people to give us money so we can get into the courts. We can't do it for free, and my pockets are empty at this point. You know, I supported a lot of what we've been doing for many years, and we have a few people who give a good amount of money every month. That really is what really rides us through. But it's the widow's mite that could really make it the powerful thing, because you get $5 a month from 10,000 people. Because we have a little over 10,000 members, but we're not going to get 10,000 people to give us $5 a month. If half of them would be great too, but $10,000 a month—that's $50,000. Okay, $5 a month is $50,000 a month by 10,000 people. That allows us to go professional. That allows us to pay the people to do what has to be done, to get working on phone calls and working with the committees of safety on the lower level. And there's a whole bunch of other things that need to be done from a professional position so that we can really be good at what we're doing. And so anybody who can give us their time right now, volunteer their time a couple hours a month to make maybe, you know, spend 2 hours a month or 3 hours a month, whatever it is, making phone calls. We'll lay out the process of what needs to be discussed on those phone calls, the first phone call, the second phone call, the third phone call, and so on and so forth. We'll lay it all out in a written form. So we'll train the people how to do this. Like I said, we have 2 volunteers so far. We need a lot more because we have right now 190 committees of safety in process, so it appears anyway. You know, I don't know how active any of them are. That's the problem. We should know how active they are. We should be feeding them, encouraging them, pushing them along, suggesting to them, tying them in with their counties next door, working together, teaching them how to build up their membership. How to run their committees properly, that's professionally run. Not necessarily, that's an improper word, professionally run, but in a professional way, let's put it that way. Okay, run a committee in a proper way as any other committee would run. There's a procedure, a process, a thing that you do. And then there is the required work of everyone goes home from the meeting and they have something to accomplish, some little thing. Maybe take them a couple hours sometimes throughout that month when they come back and they report what they've done, what they've accomplished, and then you discuss more ideas. And you build that committee, okay, and you run it properly. We've already laid that out. I'll, I'll highlight that maybe also at some point in the very near future. We need to really get things going. But look, we need people to give a few dollars to get this court case going. We've been at this for quite a few weeks, maybe a month and a half, 2 months maybe. It really ended up to be better for us that we were retarded not being able to get the money because we found a new way to proceed. And just today, I found more information for a much powerful way to proceed, which they cannot refuse, and they're ordered by Judge Roberts. They must allow these papers to get through to the judge. If it's coming in a proper form, it's coming in as a presentment, okay? And that's not a paper. It's not a court. It's not a court. You're trying to bring a court case in for them to make a decision, a proper decision, because you feel you have a bad decision. That's not what it is. No, we're the people. We are the people. We are the people who ordained and established this Constitution for their obedience to it. And if they want to be obedient to it, we need to understand how we can remove these people and put someone else in power. We should never, ever, ever, support anyone that does not know the Constitution. When they call these meetings, this guy's running for this and that guy's running for this or this woman's running for that and we're going to have a meeting, we'll be discussing things. Well, you should be filling that hall up and asking them about the Constitution. Tell us what you're going to do about this and that. What does the Fifth Amendment say to you? What about your obedience and the oath you took to the Constitution? Why are you people trying to negotiate our unalienable rights? Why are you talking and debating? You think we're a democracy? A democracy is repugnant to a republic. There's no such thing as a democratic republic. It doesn't exist. Okay? It's an oxymoron. It's contradictive. It cannot be. Okay? Just because we elect our people by popular vote, which is just common sense, I mean, come on now, has nothing to do with making us a democracy. You see, a democracy is when you hire people, you elect people to go and represent you, and that democracy, they're representing you without without the founding documents that we have, without a constitution. And they just get in there and they talk, they change things over. Like I said, there are people talking about getting rid of the Constitution, seriously talking in the political realm, and a position being held by the Democrat Party. And if you want to know how bad bosses are, just look at the votes of the Democrats. They're all insane. They're not real. They can't really be all insane, but they've taken that funny money. That's the problem. That's the problem they have. They know that the whole thing was a con job for them being elected. They get all this money. And then now they're held to that money that they've taken, and now they're bribed. They got to go along with the party boss. Maybe they'll be exposed to that or something else, whatever, because that's how evil it is up there. Washington is a sewer. And so anyway, you want parties? You got parties. But why do we have to have a party? Because people are going to go to Washington and represent the will of the people if there's no party boss. And what's going to rule? Common sense is going to rule. That's what's going to rule. Re-election is going to rule by doing the will of the people to get re-elected. Okay? All right, anyway, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking a lot about that over the next couple of weeks. And when we can put together this information, we're going to continue to try to drive this information down to the Committee of Safeties that are in process of moving along, and hopefully they'll all get involved. We don't get involved in Committees of Safety, and they run the way they want to run. We try to encourage them to get educated and follow the framework, at least our framework, because that puts you to a position where you can be integrated with the county next door and so on and so forth. You're communicating in the same way. You're doing the same thing. And if you move to a different place in a different county, you fall right back into the groove because it's operating the same way. So the framework has got to be the same. We've created that framework. But it's the priorities of the people within the counties that rule their counties. And you will find other counties have the same priorities. You can work together on these things. And you have to work together with that, because if you're going to want to control your congressman, okay, your congressman is elected by numerous counties. So you want to get together. If there's 3, 4, 5 counties you need to talk with, you need to come together, 4 or 5 counties, to discuss the upcoming election for someone that is running for, to become a congressman. And you're going to want all to get together, and you're going to want to interview these people. You want to know, tell us about the First Amendment. How are you going to support the Second Amendment? What do you think about the Second Amendment? What about the Fifth Amendment? What about the Seventh Amendment? What do you think about the Ninth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment? Tell us about what you know about these things. Who are we as a people? What is our what law are we actually under? What does the Declaration of Independence tell us what law we are under? We're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's the foundation of who we are as a people. And that brings us to the Magna Carta, and it clearly lays out that the Bible and the king of the court is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that, and you don't teach your children who the king of the court is, then they're going to be bringing up the will of a different king, aren't they? Because the king of our court is morally minded, is just and right and true. And that's what we want, a king that is just, right, and true. And we do have a king, and that king is in our courts. The king's bench is the juries. The grand juries, the trial juries, they are the king's bench. Who is the king of our court? Because right now, the king of our court is the Bar Association. That's who the king of our court is. And that brings us right back to the devil, ultimately. All right, anyway, we're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks. We do need money. We need money to get this thing going to the courts. So please, anybody can give us some money. You know, instead of buying something that you want for pleasure, do something to support this nation, to bring us back, to support our courts being back to proper powers. Okay? Okay, I guess that brings us to the end. Terry, did you want to say something?
Yeah, John. Yeah, John. I'm getting a feedback. I follow what you're saying. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, hang on a second, Jan. You can you mute? Jan's mic is open. Let me mute Jan then. Okay, go ahead. You shouldn't get feedback now.
Okay, thank you. I hear what you're saying, and I hear you say that you're going to send out these cards. You do have to have a plan at the beginning, because you have to have a bunch of people.
Right.
These people have to see you. They have to want to follow you. And you're trying to get numbers, tens of people. If you go somewhere and you have the sheriff show up and you don't have a lot of people, well, they're going to listen to the board. And
well, no, you're hiring the sheriff to come out to serve. He can't get involved.
Okay.
And hopefully, if you have a relationship with the sheriff, that's a good thing. For those people who have a committee of safety that already have 15, 20, 30 people, and there are committees out there that have that many people, and they're active and they know their sheriff and they're working with their sheriff, there are some groups I'm aware of that are in that situation. Okay, they're already set to go. But you see, the thing is this. In order to do what I'm saying, your committee of safety has to be between 2 and 4 people at bare minimum, okay? And it's not so much the 2 or 4 people, because once you make that plan and you get these postcards out and you have your first meeting and these people come, you're going to be bringing these people. We're going to lay things out, so we're going to be enticing these people to get involved in exercising their unalienable right of government by consent. And this is the process. This is how our founding fathers. All this would be laid out to them, along with dealing with the school problem. Then we'll go into the school. We'll take control of the school board and demand obedience or leave. Okay, and that's where the sheriff is involved. And you can ask the sheriff, hey, you should probably come in early if you can, but at least come 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the end of the meeting so you can serve the papers if necessary. You might get the board to be obedient without serving the paper. And that's what we're really going to try to do. But these people, they're paid off or something. I don't know what's going on with these people. These people just stick to the status quo. They stick with the immoralities. They stick with the teaching of our children. They don't know whether they're boys or girls. It is so sickening and disgusting. It is the corruption of a minor. Oh, that's a crime, and I'm sure that's still on the books. It's clearly a natural law crime anyway, but it is a crime. It is on the books. I doubt very seriously that that has been removed. Okay, I would bet you dollars to donuts every state has that law in the books concerning what kind of penalty comes upon a person who corrupts the morals of a minor, because this goes way back to who we are as a people a long time ago. And so we can apply that law and press that law in. And we should apply those laws and press those laws at the same time. If you have the knowledge, you have someone who understands the court system and will assist that person, let's bring criminal charges against these people for teaching our children these things. They've damaged them for life. Some of these children commit suicide. And we just continue on. What's wrong with us? We step up, people. Either take your republic back or lose it. And again, I'll say this again. I'll say it 1,000 times. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 times. Trump can put this nation back on track where it belongs, but only the people can maintain it. Remember what Benjamin Franklin said to that individual when he came out and was asked, so what kind of a government do we have? A republic, if you can keep it. And how do you keep it? You must be educated. If people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson. So those are the things we need to know. We need to know civics. We need to know the Constitution. We need to know our history. We need to know who we are as a people. We need to know who our king of our court is. We need to get morals. Look, we have been a moral nation, generally speaking, for a very long time until this craziness really, the craziness has been going on for quite some time. The corruption started way back when I was young. You just didn't see it, but it was working its way through the system, okay? But we were a morally minded people. We were a people, a giving people, a charitable people, okay? And it seems we've lost that. At least from my perspective, I look around, it seems we've lost that. Why have we lost that? Because we took prayer and the Bible out of school. And they convinced us that that's an evil somehow. No, you know what's an evil is when evil people take over churches and do evil things and they come in the name of Christ. And the Bible talks about this, okay? And they come in the name of Christ, and then people that don't know anything about anything, the strangers, the people who don't know nothing, they never brought up in a Christian home or whatever, they run wild with this stuff. Oh, Christians, you know, this, that, or the other thing, you know. People who were abused by Christians, maybe a priest or something when they were younger, and they've left it, you know. But that's not the way it is. That's just Satan working, you know. We have to bring back morals. We have to teach our children how to think. We have to teach them who we are as a people. We have to show them their roots. We have to teach them that they have a duty to give back to this nation when they become adults. They should maybe go into the service. They should definitely join a committee of safety and champion the Constitution with others. They should know these things and how to do these things. They should know how to go into a court and take care of their legal business. That's what they should be taught in school also. So, but yeah, look at two to four people can get this meeting going and draw in at the end of the day when you finally finalize with that school district and ready to move on to the next school district. When that time comes, you'll find all of a sudden you got 20 or 30 people, because people are going to see the power. They're going to exercise the power, they're going to see it, and they're going to realize they need to get involved in it. So I think you're going to grow in leaps and bounds this way. But those which are already developed, they've already got a process and a procedure. Hopefully they're running as a committee, not just as some meeting coming and BSing and talking about this. No, you got to run it as a committee. First order of business, old business first. You know, there's a process and a procedure. What was accomplished? What needs to be done next? Okay, you're going to do that? When are you going to have it done by next month? Where are you going to be by next month? Okay, we'll look for your report on that. You know, people bringing in their reports on what they've accomplished. Maybe a couple hours of work during the month, like I said. And if you're not willing to give that, if you're not willing to give your money to support this, if you're not willing to give your time to support this, then you don't deserve liberty. You don't deserve the Constitution that we have. You don't deserve the Bill of Rights. You don't deserve any of these things. Look at our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. If you don't know the law, you can't have liberty. Because you can't defend it, you can't protect it, you can't see when it's being abused. Anyway, hopefully I answered your concern there, Terry.
I think so. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go over to queue now. Let's see if anybody's... Hopefully people are in the queue. I haven't looked over. Let's see. Okay, we have a couple people in the queue. So anybody else wants to get into the queue? It's a star 6 and a 1 if you're on the telephone. Should be a button there if you're on an app or browser to get into the queue. And let me suggest that people who are coming in on phones, even the wireless phones, you can download our app and come in through an app, or if you have a browser on your phone, you can come in on a browser or a computer. It's much better off because you can see our desktop and the information we're sharing as we're talking. Okay, but we'll take our first caller. It's a wireless caller. It's a 262 area code. Maybe you can give us your first name and the state. You got the mic. I accidentally kicked you out. Come back in, and we'll take you first. Let me put George on hold. I don't know how that happened. Hang on a second, George. I accidentally kicked that person out. All right, anyway, come back into the queue. We'll take you from there. We'll take George while we're waiting. George from Florida, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been involved in politics for the last 4 or 5 years. I do know of hell, as you're not surprised. I got involved through the Precinct Strategy Group.
Yep.
If you know anything about that, that's all political party stuff, which you addressed earlier. A complete waste of time because, as you said, the party bosses take control. They kicked out down in Florida here. They disbanded several county precincts, committeemen, and kicked them all out. How do you do that? That's because the parties are private organizations. They make their own rules, and they can do whatever they want. So that's why that's the fallacy of all that. So I think your system is a lot better. I think maybe I can get the people that were involved in my county. Maybe I could talk to them. We're still together socially. I'll try to get them to download this audio and listen to it. I think it's good. I also have a group that are pushing campaigning for people around Florida. It's called APEC, APEC. I think they're going to be sadly disappointed with the results of these elections. They might be poised to listen to what you're talking about. So I can approach them as well. I'm also going to send you a $200 contribution as soon as I get a chance to help out what you're doing, because I appreciate it. And I have... something else that I think that needs to be added to the discussion. You talked about the schools and education being the number one issue. You're correct. I think number two issue is the post office. The reason why we're really, they control us is because they control all the communications. They farmed out all the communications to the Department of Commerce. From the post office, they gave all the communications to the Department of Commerce. All these radio and television, all these transmission corporations have licenses from the government, but because it's under the Department of Commerce, all they care about is money. Whereas the post office, the reason why the post office was created, Benjamin Franklin was the first postmaster, and anybody know what he used to do before he was postmaster for the United States? Do you know?
He ran a newspaper.
He was the postmaster for the King of England. And you know what his number one job was as the postmaster for the King of England?
No. What?
To open all the mail to see who's plotting against the king. And that's why that he came in with laws, draconian laws, against anybody opening U.S. mail to protect privacy. I don't know if you're aware that private banking is also protected under the post office. Are you aware of that?
No.
Okay, yeah, that's another thing we need to look into. But the reason why we need to work towards reconstituting the post office is because post office is the master controller of communications to maintain privacy, okay? So that we can communicate with each other, and the vehicles that we need to communicate with each other, emails and things like that, cannot be monitored. Phone calls through cell phones are monitored. If we put all these communications under the post office, they have to be private. And the Supreme Court will protect our privacy, okay? So that's a very, very big objective that we have to deal with, included with the education issue. And the other thing that we have to deal with, because no matter what kind of government that you put together, the issue of politicians and how they run for office and how they communicate their message and who's paying for all that, that's how we lost the government to begin with, because no politician can afford to pay the cost of advertising for his campaign out of his own pocket, so he has to go beg for money. And that's where the corruption comes in. And to cut that off, we have to find a system where the politicians can communicate their message to the electorate free. So it's free campaign advertising is what I'm talking about. Now, we're not asking anybody to work for free. What we do is we have to create a system like a platform, like suppose like a YouTube, right, where they can put their videos up and just post them for free. But not YouTube. It would have to be something, again, a platform like YouTube, but under the post office. You do that, and now you have not only do you have a platform where the candidate can campaign for free, but you also now you have a system where the electorate can give feedback directly to that candidate and tell them whether we like or dislike the laws that he's thinking about writing. And this system really explodes in power and potential as we can look to develop it. But for now, we just need to get the conversation going. And I'd like to find a way of speaking to people like yourself on a committee basis to flesh the idea out so you're more aware of what we need to do and why we need to do it. Maybe this call is probably not really it. Plus, I am driving. So, anyway, I'm fine. But so I'd like to offer that opportunity. Do you have my number recorded there?
Yeah, we see your number. And what you could do is send a email to Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And he's listening in anyway now. And we'll connect with you. And if you want to spearhead this kind of a program with us, you know, it sounds like a good fit for us. And it will, you know, open up another avenue of information concerning things we need to do. I'd like to make one correction that you mentioned when you were talking. And you talked about our system. This is not my system. This is not our system. This is our founding father system. This is how they did what they did. It was committees of safety that came together for the first Continental Congress. It was the committees of safety that came together for the second Continental Congress. It was the committees of safety that came together and put forward the Declaration of Independence and provided for the war and fought. And it was the Committee of Safety that negotiated the Constitution. They came together, the Federalist Papers, you can read about it, and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And together, you know, they debated the things. They looked at different governments. And and they recognize that only a natural law republic can truly free people. And you know, we, the United States here, are the only natural law republic in the entire world. There is none other. Britain was very close, but they lost it too, but they were very close to being a republic, but they never succeeded in that. They had the Magna Carta. We built off the Magna Carta, but in any event, there is a couple of hundred republics in the world, but there's only one natural law republic. I should actually say there are 51 natural law republics, because every state is supposed to be a natural law republic, and the United States as a whole is a natural law republic. And we've written into our Constitution that this government must guarantee to us a republican form of government. And so this is one of the things we're pushing forward on the Supreme Court, because they are one of the branches of government, and it is their duty to guarantee to we the people a natural law republic. And just as it is for Congress to do the same, and just as it is for the administration to do the same. And I think times are there changing. I think there's an opportunity here, and we the people can't afford to miss this opportunity, because an opportunity only stays open so long before you lose it again. And yeah. Beautiful opportunity. We got to step up. But anyway, we'd like
to... I got one more point, one quick point, right? Just like you're talking about...
Let me just finish up. We're interested in your ideas, and like I said, send a message to Jan.
Thank you very much.
Private meet, and we'll talk. But you wanted to make another point. Go ahead.
All right. Just as you're trying to get tag onto the outrage of parents for what's going on with their children in school, everybody's outraged about the influence of money in politics, and it's both sides. It's Republicans, Democrats, everybody. And this means that this is an excellent message to unite the people, okay, and get them activated. If we have a solution to that problem, if we can't get them motivated on those two issues, then we really are lost. But thank you so much for your time and your program. Good night.
All right, I appreciate it, but I'd like to also respond a little to that too. I agree with you. The unfortunate thing is, people are so busy in their lives, and they get so lost in whatever they're doing. They spend a lot of time tweeting, I guess, and you know, going through. I see people all the time with phones. They're lost in a whole little world, and they're not paying attention. But when you do get their attention, they fall back into their own little world. It's unfortunate. People, you know, I've been to other places. Occasionally, I go to other places. And I see people really angry and complaining, and they don't like this, and they don't like something's got to be done. And then I'll bring the message to them, and then they don't do nothing, because I think a lot of times people think, well, the other guy's doing it. I don't have the time. I'll let the other guy doing it. But I'm telling you, the other guy ain't doing it. And that's why, you know, if you want to get something going, we need critical mass to really be successful, because there's only a small group of people, a small percentage out of a group of people that will actually step up and do the work and support the system and do what's got to be done and recognize it. But I see, you know, what I think the most emotional in all of this is the parents of children that are sick and tired of what they're doing to our children, and they are emotionally involved. Their children are there. They're emotionally connected to this problem, and that's why I think that's the strongest group that will respond in a high percentage to take this thing to the next step and work it through their school districts and other school districts and take control of their government and grow from that and get an education, a proper education that we offer. You know, we offer, I don't even know how many, I think it's 5 courses or 6 courses. Most of them are free. There's only 2 courses that we ask people to be a premier member to get into, and a premier member is someone given $5 a month or more. We've had people say, well, I can't afford the $5. And there are situations, I do believe, that is the case. So we let them in for free, you know, because we're about education. We're not about money, but we do need money to support. And then we have our court access in the common law course, and that's $125, but it's a 90-hour course. It'll teach you how the court process works, how due process works, how to write papers, what's going on with the rules, how common law plays a role in this. So it's a really in-depth course. It's 90 hours versus a 60-hour course in a college that'll charge you $13,000 for that same court access without the common law, without the liberty, being free and independent people coming into the court, taking control that we are the people. I'm one of the people in New York, and in this court of record, which is to operate as a court of justice, and would have a jury of our peers, a free and independent jury of our peers to decide whatever it is we're taking into the courts. We need to open those courts back up again because they're not open up right now. Every single jury out there is a stacked jury, whether it be a grand jury or whether it be a petit jury, which is a trial jury. They're all stacked. They're stacked against the people. The judge is against the people. The lawyer, prosecutor is against the people. The jury is made to be against the people that are coming into that court to ask whatever, because they're stacked, and it's a political thing, especially when you're going up against the status quo. And believe it or not, your own lawyer is against you. He's the enemy also. People don't realize he's in it for the money. He doesn't care. And the judge runs the rules at the end of the day. You know, if the other lawyer is going to try to bring in some common law stuff, some natural law stuff, and make positions that's contrary to the status quo, he's going to get a talking to in the back room. This is how it's going to work in my court, buddy. And if you don't obey it, you're going to lose your license, and you're not going to make no more of the big dollars that you're getting. That's what's going on in the courts. Okay? That's how bad it is. It's run by Satan, ultimately.
That's exactly what happened to me in court. My lawyer took me to the back room. He gave me a talking. He just totally dressed me down. And then we got into court, and he sold me out.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
I see it day in and day out all the time. Okay? All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's connect. Okay. I'm sorry I mistakenly kicked you out there before. I hit the button twice somehow, but 203, I think that was you anyway. There's a 203 area code, wireless call. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay, John. This is Tim from Connecticut. How are you?
Doing, Tim.
All right. So there's a little bit of noise. I'm in a restaurant now, but okay, so what I want to ask is, what do you think of something? I haven't paid. I'm in Connecticut. They charge a supposed tax for a person to drive his or her car, right? You're hearing me okay here?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Something about a tax for driving or something, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, they call it a property tax on the vehicles. Okay, so
property,
I haven't.
Whoa, I haven't heard that. A property tax on the vehicle. I know they want you to register it, re-register it. Is that what you're talking about?
Okay, so yes, there's the registration, which has continued to. It used to be, I don't even, maybe less than $100, and now it's over $300.
Yeah, I know.
But in addition to that.
There's always bigger fish.
Are you still there?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Something on my phone. It doesn't show the symbol there, the phone symbol. Anyway, okay, but in addition to that, they charge a tax. They call it a property tax.
You know, this is all ridiculous. I mean, even going to get an ID or even to get a license to drive, which is not necessary anyway. It should be just an ID. But in any event, any kind of a thing that you go to get from the government in the county building particularly should be free. Why are they charging us money? I don't know why they're charging us money. But why are they charging us money?
All right. So I paid it. I didn't have very, very expensive cars to begin with. So at first, when I moved to Connecticut, it was only because my cars were they were very run down. I think the most they charged me like $50 per year. So I was paying that, but then I got a more expensive car. And even before that, I was disgusted going there. Why was I giving them this money? So I hadn't paid for, I don't know, I didn't register my cars either. I just drove without registering. I drove carefully so that I wouldn't get the police, the attention of the police, and so they would never, They would never pull me over. Okay, but recently, go ahead.
Light out or something, and that could get you pulled over too. But
I guess I was fortunate not to have that occur to me. But recently, I got another car, and of course, right, they're going to try. The probabilities are going to try to control things. So they said they wouldn't. I went for the registration the easy way, but they wouldn't register the car until I paid for the prior property tax. Okay, so what I wanted to ask what you think is, somewhere I heard that they use that money to pay the various governmental employees in the city. What are you thinking about this?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. I can't believe what you, it's not that I really can't believe, but it's hard to believe, and I do believe you, though, that they're calling it a property tax to begin with, that they're charging you different amount of monies for registration depending on the value of the car. That is totally insane, and people better listen. It's coming to a state near you, okay, because once it starts one place, it's going to move through the whole process. And, again, none of these things should cost anything. If there is a necessity to register a vehicle and put a tag on it because it's got to have a license plate or something so it could be identified, that kind of makes sense, okay? But it shouldn't cost you money to do it. It should be free. We already paid for the building. We paid for the people working in the buildings. We paid for their computers. We paid the electric. We paid the telephones. We paid the internet connections. We pay for everything. Why do we have to give them more money? We already paid for all this stuff, okay? And I'll tell you what's going on with it. What they're doing is they're taking it and giving themselves their own benefits. They're giving themselves great retirement plans and different benefits. That's where that money's going to.
They're in essence like the senators voting themselves raises. I mean, without communicating to the people, they charge tax, they raise the taxes, the so-called tax, and then they have a higher salary. The various.
Well, I'll tell you, that's another thing that should be changed. And this may be radical at first, people, but you need to think about it. It's not radical at all. It makes sense. If Congress wants a raise, then they should put it on the ballot and request the people, can we have a raise? We're making $150,000 a year right now. We'd like to make $200,000. Can we please have a raise? How do you think that's going to go over, especially if people are struggling? Okay. But that's where they should be coming to their boss. Look at what people need to understand. First of all, if you want to be free, you start off thinking free. And once you start thinking free, you got to act free. And if you don't take it to that next level of acting free, then you're not really free. You're not free at all. And that's the problem we have. And you got to understand, this is clear in law. It's clear with our founding fathers. It's clear in our history, okay, that we are a sovereign people, okay? We are sovereign. You want to call us a sovereign citizen? That's okay. That's fine. I mean, they say sovereign citizens are cop killers. I mean, that's actually what they say. I've been called that because they claim and make me a sovereign citizen. I say, look, I may be sovereign, and it is true. I'm a citizen of the United States. The word citizen is used, I think, 7 times in the Constitution, and that's fine. That's what I am, but it doesn't make me anything more, okay, than that. You know, we the people ordained and established. Think about that. The king ordains. The king establishes. We the people ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America, for them to be obedient to. We are the sovereign. We're the lawmakers. And that's why when you go into a court and they apply some rule against an individual and you're sitting on a jury, or they apply some law against a person and you're sitting on that jury, okay, we can nullify that. Why? Because we are the lawmakers. We decide what the law is. It's always been that way. Now, we've given them the ability in Congress to write law in equity. And that's a different kind of law. That's statutes and regulations. And law in equity ultimately means that we've given them 18 powers to govern commercial activities, to govern government agencies and the agencies that work within them, and making rules, regulations, and penalties if they do this or they do that. That's the power we gave them as far as law writing is concerned. It's called equity. It's called ultimately legislative law, never or ever to be applied upon we the people. We the people are under natural law, the laws of nature and of nature's God. It's all about, ultimately, it's common sense and logic with an eye on justice. That's all common law is. It's all natural law is. So, but I can't, it's so unbelievable that they're calling it a property tax and that they're charging different for different car values. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yes. Yes, they are. Okay, so what would you...
By the way, Connecticut also has lost their sheriffs. The people were so dumb they voted their sheriffs out, and that's not possible because there's no law enforcer now. And if there's no law enforcer, well, no one's applying the law. The law isn't there anymore, the common law. But back to you, Tim.
Okay, thank you. All right, so then I elected to register. I mean, I bought the car from a car dealer, and it's very difficult to get the car from them without them insisting on registering the car. But anyway, I decided I was going to try to go, that maybe that would be bypassed, the so-called tax that I owe. They wouldn't look my name, wouldn't check and see whether it was paid. Go ahead. How much do they say I owe? Is that what the question is?
Yeah, well, how much are they claiming you owe?
It's over $1,000.
Wow. Well, you know what you can do? You can go buy the car and have it towed out. They can't do nothing about that. Well, we need to
drive it. I have the car. They gave me a temporary license plate. I bought it from New Jersey. So they gave me a temporary license plate until I got the registration from my state. But now it's expired. So
do you have family in Jersey or New York or someplace else?
Oh, I see. Then I could register in a different state that didn't have that. You know what? As a matter of fact, I do have family in New York City, so I could maybe call and ask.
Yeah, well, New York City may be a problem because they may have crazy rules down there. They got a commie for a mayor right now. He's doing some weird things. But you could check it out and see if it's worthwhile doing it there. And then you get your insurance, and you'll have to be a little creative with your insurance. You know, that you're living in two places, for instance, one place in New York or whatever, and another place in Connecticut, and that you're mostly driving in Connecticut, but your major residency is actually in New York or wherever it is that you want to claim it to be. So you got to be a little creative because the insurance will look at where you're driving, how much you're driving, what distance, if you know, every day and so on, you know, so.
Okay, so another interrelated question here. So how would they pay if they, let's say, in this day and age, I'm not justifying this so-called tax, okay, but if in this day, this now, if they didn't have this property tax, then they could. How would they pay the governmental employees? Because I was hearing they were talking. I guess it was directly from one of them that they wrote in a letter or something
Go ahead. Are you telling me that they're telling you that they have to pay these people with that money that they're collecting?
Yes.
That is a lie from hell. That's what that is. That's a lie. Okay. You know what it is? It's the benefits. They got better benefits. I want to tell you, people who work for the state and in the city, any government agencies, their benefits are unbelievable what they get, you know, when they retire, okay? And that's, you know, this is something that if you have the ability, you can challenge in court. And you have to have that ability to do that. And I'll tell you what, if you took it up the line, you might be able to beat it. Because I think the courts are coming to the point where they're going to be able to represent the status quo.
I didn't really understand what you said. Kind of the last sentence and a half. I can beat it. What else did you say?
Yeah, if you took it, you could probably build a case. You'd have to do some research on this, and you could probably create a case in order to defeat that. What would you call it? A tax on property.
I know exactly how. Right, so, because there have been court cases that said we don't, a private vehicle doesn't need to have be registered, nor do we need a license. I could use that, right? And then how are they going to charge a tax on a vehicle that isn't required to be registered?
You can use that. The problem is within the state, you know, the judges are bar attorneys to begin with. That's where they started out. So they're bar members. They're bar taught. And they're not going to go along with that until we get courts of justice open, which we're working on. If the people will support our work, we're working on that. But in any event, you know, the problem is, but there is a way to defeat it, though, because once you walk into their courts, it may look like you're getting due process, but if you really look down and study it, you'll discover you're not getting due process because they're applying civil law on you, and that's not due process. They're applying statutes on you. That's not due process, okay? That's a denial of due process. So the way you could win that case is for you to move it into federal court for cause. The cause would be a denial of due process and have them cease and desist. Okay, so that's a potential way. It's a little tricky to try to do that, but you could do that way too. The thing is, of course, it's going to cost you a lot more than what you got to pay them, and that's the other side of that problem. You know, it's cheaper to pay the $1,000 and move on than to go to court, but you're going to have to drive it up the line, and you're going to have the education to be able to drive that up the line yourself, which is what we teach in court access.
You're going to have the what? Sorry, somebody's talking. Have the what?
You have to have the knowledge to be able to move it up the line to tell it all the way up.
Yeah.
Even eventually, if necessary, move it into the federal court for cause for denial of due process.
And yeah, I don't have a lot of knowledge. There's another issue. I need the car. I drive the car for my plan was to drive the car for as you know, to use as a car, like car service, you know,
right.
Like kind of like related to limousine. So the company requires, in their requirements, they require the vehicle to be registered. So that's a double.
Well, the other thing is, you know, look, this is all about money. They want money, and they may fall to this. If you say to them, look, I'm a poor guy, and I have no choice but to pay this, and so I'm willing to pay this, but I got to pay it in payment, and you tell them whatever payments you want to work out. They'll probably go for that because it's really all about money for these people.
Oh, pay in installments, this so-called back tax that I owe.
Right. You know, so, I mean, you could do that. I have a friend who had a lot of tickets, parking tickets, and he's doing the same thing. He's going into the court to say, you know, look, I need my, I need to be able to register a vehicle. But I got to pay this off, I'd like to pay it off, but I'm a poor person. I haven't got the money to pay it, but I can give you X amount of dollars a month until I pay this fine off. And I can see them letting you go through this process.
Mm. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to share with you in relation to the other thing. You remember that was about the house that they started the foreclosure, the bank?
Yep, I remember.
I kind of haven't, I don't know, it's kind of, maybe I feel daunted in relation to, because of my lack of experience with the courts and stuff like that, I haven't started the process, and I don't know whether it's even that,
well,
I hate to say this, whether I'm even going to be,
able,
I don't know, go ahead.
Is this in court right now? Are you still going to court?
It's not. I haven't initiated anything yet.
Okay, but are they initiating anything?
Yeah, about a month ago, or a month and a week ago.
What did they do? Did they file anything in the courts?
A guy called me. So one of those people who offered to buy, you know, a person's property, because he goes and looks in the various records to see which houses are on which are going to be foreclosed. And he told me that they started, it was like on July the 2nd or July the 3rd or July the 4th or something like that last month.
They didn't notify you?
That's when they started the foreclosure. Go ahead.
They didn't notify you of this?
Well, it's my mother's. It was my mother's house. She died, remember? So
yeah,
it's not, the house isn't in my name.
Yeah, they know that you're the person that should be notified that there's a process being proceeded. It's called a non-judicial foreclosure. okay? And you can force them into the courts, and at that point, the courts kind of get stuck, and that could go on for years because it's, the whole thing is a crime, and the court will appease them because they got to appease the process. They got to appease the, you know, the status quo. And but you can go through years with this. Meanwhile, you can move it. Again, you need to get educated in the law. You can do that here. And then, you know, you can move this into federal court for cause. You can sue these people for, you know, going behind your back, trying to steal your property with a foreclosure and not even notifying you of it. Okay?
No due process. No due process. Which amendment is that again? Is that the... Which amendment is that?
Well, it's the Seventh Amendment, I believe.
Seventh Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Seventh Amendment is a right, but it's the Fourth and the Fifth and the Seventh collectively. That's what you want to apply. Those are the amendments you want to apply. Let me open up. Quickly read them, those amendments, okay?
If I may interject something here, maybe the issue is that when a person tries to do something alone, it's like the inspiration is there. Maybe if there was someone within this, in our organization here, the National Liberty Alliance, the people that were in that process, and somehow I could get in their group and work with them, then maybe I would have the kind of the drive maybe to kind of
right.
Do this, maybe.
Well, we don't have any kind of list of things working like that, and most of the people involved in this are uneducated, and no one has approached me to try to work through some of this. I mean, I can give advice and thoughts, ideas, but people have to know what to do with that advice, and that's why it requires force. But let me just give you this real quickly, okay?
Go ahead.
I mean, for instance, in suits of common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, and I'm sure the house is worth more than $20. And the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. Okay? And now you also go over to the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secured in their person, houses, and papers in offense, against reasonable searches and seizures. They're coming to seize your property. And they're not filing anything, any lawful thing. They're trying to do this behind your back. I've seen this done in New York City and various other places, right outside the court. You got to force it in the court, and it creates a dilemma for them, and it creates a dilemma for the court, and they just get stuck back and forth sometimes for many years, often more often than not. But every time they have a hearing,
what was it you saw done that somebody submitted a countersuit? Is that what's implied here? Somebody submitted a countersuit.
Well, that's what I would do if I were you, because they're going behind your back to do a foreclosure. You want them to cease and desist this unlawful activity. You have a right of due process. They can't just come and take your property. Who are these people? Who do they think they are? You know, and. You cannot be, deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, okay? Nor shall a property be taken for public use without just compensation. That's the Fifth Amendment. So you got the Fourth, the Fifth, and the Seventh Amendment, the rest of them.
Uh-huh. So then I could use that to... which to build up a case or a bolster, give a foundation.
Around, exactly. You build your case around those three amendments. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then you have to look at, you have to write things down and where they have to answer. Okay? They have to answer true or false. Okay? And sometimes you might want them to answer in a sentence, but basically true or false. So you want to create a series of questions that puts them into a trap, okay? And what happens if you can trap them and get the right answers, then you can then file for a summary judgment and shut the whole thing down altogether, and you could do that quite quickly.
How would that be done?
You have to ask them questions that they have to answer. And if you give whatever it is, you give it thought, okay, by what power, By what authority? You know, and you think about the strategies that they're using, or you learn about the strategies they're using against you, and you think about those things, and you ask, and you look for the fact that they're doing this unlawfully. The whole thing is unlawful. And the fact that they're doing a non-judicial foreclosure, for instance, true or false, this process you are proceeding against me is a non-judicial foreclosure, true or false. If they say true, you got them, 4th, 5th, and 7th. Done. Okay? So, I mean, that's one of the questions, but you want to ask a lot of questions. When people ask questions, and they have to answer true or false, true or false, true or false, or with a few words. Now, one of the big problems people make is they'll ask a question, and there'll be maybe two issues inside the one question. Got to be simple questions, one point, one question, one answer. That's it. If you put two or three things together in one, and they can deny one, they can deny all three and deny it all and say false. Okay, so you got to be careful with that. But anyway,
okay, I see.
You got to learn the law, and you know, you can either go to college for that, for a bar education, which is no education at all, from my opinion, at least not in justice. Or you can come and take our course for $125 and learn how to do these things and write the papers and file the papers and serve the papers. And, you know, we give an anatomy of a court, you know.
I have subscribed for the course. I have the course, and well, let's just say in short, I paid for it. I was trying to find a more sophisticated way of saying it, but I subscribed for the course.
Yeah, try to spend a couple hours a week if you can. Maybe 45 minutes a day. You know, spend some time in the course. You know.
Okay.
So.
Well,
I think you can build a real good case. All right, it's running late. I do have more people in queue, so we'll have
okay,
to.
Okay. Well.
We could talk more week if you want.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We only got 5 minutes, so we're going to have to do this quick. I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't paying attention. No. We'll take our next person. It looks like Brett. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yep, go right ahead, Brett.
Hey,
what state are you from?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah, so my question quick here is, what I'm, as far as... I'm sorry. I was wondering what happens if I, what can I do if I don't receive discovery
if I don't receive discovery?
I'm sorry, I'm going to a quiet area. If I don't receive discovery when I,
well, look at a court. You have to initiate your motions. You have to
right.
move discovery. In order to, and when you move for discovery and you start to push forward, if they reject it and deny it and refuse to give it to you, you have to move the court to order them.
What if they don't respond? So, like, I've done that, but I'm just waiting for a response.
But if the court orders them, they could be found in contempt, number one, for not being obedient to the order, number one. Also, depending on what's... You know what the case is about. What's laying out there?
Traffic.
Huh? What is it?
It's traffic.
Oh, traffic.
A traffic citation.
Yeah, they don't want to give you anything. They got craziness going on. Look at you. You have to write. I think I have a. You're coming in. You can see my desktop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me go. I think I have a paper you can look at and work with. Let's see if you go. Hopefully I have it here. Under education starts here. Come down to law, and then come over to court forms and process. And let's see, traffic for denial of due process. Let me do a search on traffic control fine. Okay, here, instructions and forms for traffic court. Okay, take a look in here on this page. You want to come in. When you come in, you want to come in like they would come in, okay? I don't follow their rules, but I try to make myself look as much as they look, you know, look like them, okay? You know, eventually I get exposed because I bring in the common law, and that kind of throws them off. But you want to come in with an appearance ticket, okay, a notice of motion, and a verified jurisdictional challenge. And then after that, you then move for an affidavit of default, and you have the case thrown out because that court cannot give you due process. Why can't they give you due process? Because you can't win against the statute, okay? That denies you due process. Also, it's a civil law court, and it's a traffic court. It has nothing to do with we the people. So there's a lot of issues there. At that point, if they don't have the case thrown out, first of all, when you write your paper and you do that jurisdiction challenge, then the prosecutor of the court for the traffic court has got to respond to that. So your next move is the fact that they didn't respond to that. Therefore, they forego their position. I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for. But anyway, they don't go through and they don't follow through. So therefore, they defaulted. And so then you do a default because they didn't respond. Then the judge will try to make some kind of a decision. And he may try to do it before your default, which is probably what would happen. And your argument is look, I wrote this paper, and it's a sworn affidavit. Affidavit stands as truth in a court of law, and an affidavit, unrebutted, rules this court. That prosecutor did not respond, so you can only judge off of my paper. You can't make positions for that guy. Okay, that's kind of the argument you got to make before the judge. He's going to ignore that anyway because they don't even know what you're talking about. Those people are the lowest educated people going to begin with. And so then you do a default, and he's going to deny the default, and then you move it to federal court for cause, for denial of due process, for an order for cease and desist. And remember, if you move it to the federal court, then you have to, you cannot bring in the case itself. I've been in federal court where the other side brings in the case and the judge got right down hard on the other side, that has nothing to do with the case here. This is a due process, a denial of due process. And the only thing they can hear is a constitutional issue. So your due process, the denial of due process, they can hear that case. If you write a case and you bring in what that court case is about, they're not even going to hear it. And they won't even tell you why they're not going to hear it. They're going to say, we can't hear that case. And they're going to kick it out, and you're going to walk away scratching your head, not understanding why. I've seen lawyers walk away from federal courts scratching their heads because they have no experience in the federal courts. They don't understand enough because they never were taught in school about that anyway. So they don't understand. And they're living in the state courts, and they walk away scratching their head because the judge isn't going to explain to them why he threw it out. They have the authority to hear a due process case, but they don't have the authority to hear a traffic case, so you don't bring it in. Yeah, and you don't want them to hear it anyway. They're not giving you due process. I want them to cease and desist. They got to prove that they have the ability to give due process and that they gave it to you. You already have all your paperwork. You filed all your paperwork. You've challenged it. They didn't even rebut it. You filed a default, and the judge didn't obey the law. And so you bring in the court and the prosecutor and the judge all together into that court, into the federal court. And you
the
might
judge, have, the prosecutor, and who else?
Well, the judge and the prosecutor. You can't necessarily, I said the court also, but you can't really sue the court per se. I'd have to think about that. I always just go for the judge and the prosecutor.
Meaning their names, right?
Right. Those are the people you're suing. And they're the ones that's operating that court, and they're the ones that have power and authority, and they're abusing it and denying you due process.
Right. Okay.
But you can read these papers. They'll give you a lot of info on that, and they'll show you how to write some of this stuff. I think it's pretty powerful stuff in there. Okay? I got to go to the
Thank
next
you, John.
We're over time, and appreciate the call, though, Brett. Okay, our last caller. We'll give a few minutes. We're running late, but we'll go a few minutes. Anonymous, what's your first name and your state? You got the mic.
Yeah, hi. This is Elizabeth. Excuse me.
How you doing, Elizabeth?
I live in Arizona. Yep. I was listening earlier when you were talking to the gentleman about doing the was yes and no questions, you know, trying to set them up. And I'm wondering if that sounds like something that you could do with an affidavit, right, by stating what they've done based on...
It's in the main... Look, when you file a court case, okay, you know, again, if you take the course, there's a layout of things you do. And one of the things you do is you're going to ask them questions, and you label it admit and deny. It's part of the original filing of your paper.
Okay.
And you want to admit or deny. And then you put the list, number one, number two, number three, number four. Admit and deny this fact, that fact, this fact. At some point, I'll tell you what, at most cases you can win the case just on that, because all they're doing is illegal. You just have to think about what they're doing illegal and ask the right questions.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. That's all I needed. Thank you very much. Oh. Enjoy the... Enjoy it. Thank you. I learned something.
Okay. Appreciate that, Elizabeth. Okay. We come to the end of our program, and hopefully we'll see you again next Monday. We'll be back same time, same place. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.